Hello and welcome to Zack Attack. We're never going to be better than this. This is episode 21, Hairspray from 2007. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe too.
In the timeline of Zeph, this was the movie that came out right before High School Musical 2.
Okay.
There's a bunch of stuff. There's surprisingly a bunch of things that he did, some of which we're going to get to, some of which we can't find, between High School Musical 1 and this. Like, there's like three or four things, but this is back-to-back with 2. So as we sort of work back to catch up to High School Musical 1, this is the next step on our Zeph journey.
Zeph train.
I have a feeling, like, I like this movie, which is sort of surprising, because I thought I was going to not like it, but I sort of like this movie. I would have loved it, I think, if Zeph was in it more.
Yeah, I think I kind of had the same feelings that you did. I'm a musical hater. Like, yep. I think musicals are pretty much, like, the most shit genre of movie you can make. But this one was fun. I don't know if it was fun because it was Zeph or if it was fun because, like, I liked the comedy in it, but it was good, but like you said, I really wish that there had been more Zeph in it.
Yeah, because in this movie, Zeph kind of plays like an Elvis-type character. Like, this is in 1962 in Baltimore, so I did not realize that it was a prequel to The Wire, which I just finished yesterday.
I wanted to make Wire jokes about this. Like, when it starts out and she's like, we're in Baltimore, I was like, I just wanted Omar to come down the street. Knock, yep. Knock, motherfucker.
Because it was, I watched the finale of The Wire yesterday, which we still have to talk about. I finished that at like 5:30, and then I started this movie at like 7.
Yeah, so it just perfectly blended into it, right?
I know. I ate dinner in between, and I sat down to watch this movie, and I was just like, oh, I'm just not leaving Baltimore, I guess. But also, I realized that we should have had Mike back on this, because it's another one set in the past.
Get out of my head. Everything that I was about to say...
Very disappointed.
Everything that I was about to say this episode so far, you sucked out of my head, so stop.
I know another thing that you're going to say that I'm just going to skip ahead to is that Rachel's cousin is in this movie.
Yes. Yes, she is. Yes.
As a religious zealot.
Okay, well, I'm just going to sign off, and we can just wrap this one up. That's all I had to say about this movie.
Zeph kind of plays like this Elvis figure. There's a TV, it's like a daytime TV show, a daily TV show,
yeah,
called The Corny Collins Show.
What is this show? It's kind of based on, wasn't
singing
there Soul
and
Train? Like, what, yeah. Wasn't it kind of Soul Train? I'm sure that there was a white version
well,
of
Soul
really
Train.
Well,
not really Soul Train, because there's only one day a month that's Negro Day. When they
I
said
know,
that,
that's
I was
what I'm
like,
saying.
Oh.
There had to be a white version of Soul Train
yeah.
before Soul Train, so I'm
probably
sure
just the rest of TV.
Yeah. The planet is what it was.
I did not realize. So this movie is rated PG. This is a movie that's based on. So back in 1988, John Waters did Hairspray.
Okay.
And John Waters known for like Pink Flamingos and Crybaby and these really
I don't know
intense.
Any of these.
Pink Flamingos and stuff was rated X. Like he was really just one of those guys who was. I mean, it's a different time back then, but like he's one of those guys who just. I don't know what the modern day comparison would be.
Like pushing
just,
the genre.
He set
film.
Out to shock and offend and make these movies that sort of crossed the line.
Okay.
Like there was a lot of like, you know, I haven't seen them. He came to my school and talked when I was a freshman, which was kind of cool, but I didn't know who he was at that point. He basically just wanted to like push the line and like, you know, he had a lot of stuff that was like gay in his films and trans in his films and like a lot of like actual shit humor and stuff and like things that just set out to offend people. So he knew that he was never going to be like this massive commercial success of a director. But that's not what he wanted to do. And then he made Hairspray, which was rated PG, like in an attempt to sort of cross over and make something that's more family-friendly.
Hmm.
So he made that. I think it was pretty successful. I can look up those numbers, but it doesn't really matter for what we're doing.
No.
Then that became a stage show on Broadway.
So it was the movie first? It was a movie first?
Movie in like 88.
Okay.
Then it became a stage show that had like 5,000 performances or something. It was
damn.
A massive, massive hit. For the stage play, they sort of took the movie and adapted it to the stage. And then this movie, the remake, is an adaptation of the stage play. So it's sort of like a copy of a copy. And, like, there's songs, apparently, I mean, I don't know, I'm not familiar with any of the versions. There's songs that are changed for this. There's songs they added for this. There's songs they removed for this. At its core, it's the same as the original movie, but there's things different. Like, they shuffled things around to sort of fit the story they want to tell here.
Yeah, Rachel rewatched it yesterday, and as she was watching it, she was messaging me saying, like, oh, man, I forgot how bad... She said, I forgot how bad they fucked this up. And I was like, what are you talking about? You know what I mean? Like, not realizing it. But now that you say that it's, like, a copy of a copy. And also, they just did... I don't know if you saw it, but they just did Hairspray live...
Yes.
as part of this, like, you know, live musical revival thing that they've been doing on TV lately. So, yeah, very, very topical, this movie.
So the original one made $6 million in theaters, which isn't a ton, but I think compared to his other
Well,
stuff.
check inflation, dude. You have to. Oh, yeah, you're right. Check against his other stuff, too.
Yeah, so like the opening weekend, it made $500,000. The movie that came in first that weekend in February 1988 was Good Morning Vietnam, which made $5 million.
Oh.
This new one made $200 million.
Whoa. Well, this cast is fucking fire in this. I mean,
Yes.
like, it's literally, like, everyone you wanted to see. Like, I want to talk about who I would change and what I would do, but the lineup is amazing, you know?
It opened in third place behind Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. Is that number five or number four?
That's number five in the order of Harry Potter's.
So it opened behind that, and it opened behind I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry, but it had
That's
$27 million.
terrible. I think I saw that movie in
It was
theaters.
the biggest opening for a musical at the time. I mean, Mamma Mia passed it, but now we talked about, I think when we did, oh, but then I think High School Musical 3 passed it,
Yeah.
but then, you know, most recently, like, Beauty and the Beast just destroyed it.
Yeah, exactly.
The cast is stacked. There are a couple references, sort of, to Pulp Fiction. In this movie, Christopher
Yes.
Walken and John Travolta are married. I totally forgot that this was the movie where John Travolta was a woman in a fat suit, which is,
I didn't.
you know, it's kind of funny because the guy who wrote this movie also wrote Mrs. Doubtfire.
No way. Seriously? That's really awesome. That's a really good fact.
So the guy who wrote this wrote Mrs. Doubtfire. He wrote Limitless, that Bradley
Damn,
Cooper
I
movie
love
where
that
he
movie
takes
too.
that
I love
pill.
Limitless.
And he also wrote Freaky Friday with Lindsay Lohan, which I feel like.
We always call it. This is. Oh, by the way, this is a complaint that I get all the time. We always. When we were like doing Zeffentine again and stuff,
I'll
we
call it a
kept
Freaky
calling.
Friday situation.
Yeah, we kept calling it The Parent Trap, or at least I did. And you knew what I was talking about, but it's actually Freaky Friday. Little editor's note there. Sorry, guys, that I just call it The Parent Trap, but every fucking Lindsay Lohan movie is pretty much the same, so.
You know, I wonder if. So I saw nothing in the trivia about her. There's stuff I have about, like, people who were almost different characters or whatever.
Okay.
I feel like in this history of Zeff movies that Lindsay Lohan was almost in, I feel like she could have maybe been that Amanda Bynes role.
Yeah, she could have done that. How interesting was it to see Amanda Bynes, like, pre-meltdown?
Yeah.
It was like watching pre-meltdown Britney Spears. I was, like, looking for hints of her, like, you know, shaving her head and throwing shit out a window and wearing a goofy wig.
The most scandalous thing about Amanda Bynes in this movie is that her dad is a dentist. This is the number one upvoted trivia on IMDb.
Wow, okay, go
Her
ahead.
dad is a dentist and was concerned because the whole movie she's eating lollipops, and she lied to him and said, "Oh, I'm not actually eating the lollipops," but in reality, she ate 40 of them.
Throughout the actual movie?
Yeah, so that's the trivia. Like, that's the most
Holy
scandalous,
fuck.
the most interesting thing. But, like, 300
Little
people
did
out of
he
300
know
people,
what his daughter would get into later. He's worried about her eating too many lollipops, and she goes off the fucking rails a couple years later. Okay.
I saw it and I was just like, oh, God.
Yeah, you were
And
so
the guy who
innocent.
directed this movie directed Rock of Ages, the movie that I think Tom Cruise starred in.
I don't remember.
That became a stage play with Chris Hardwick and a bunch of other people. He also did A Walk to Remember, that Mandy Moore movie, and he also did
Oh.
The Pacifier, that Vin Diesel movie.
Nice. That was a pretty good lineup too. Everybody's doing great in this movie.
Yeah.
I really want on the note of characters and changing characters, I really, really selfishly wanted the blonde girl to be Ashley Tisdale. So bad I wanted to have Sharpay in this again.
Instead, she's the girl, she's Brittany Snow, who is in the Pitch Perfect movies. That
Yeah,
was
I've never seen
almost
those.
Hayden Panettiere.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but or she was considered for it. But yeah, she would have been good. And her mom is Michelle Pfeiffer in this movie.
Oh, yeah, dude. Dude, Michelle Pfeiffer's still so hot.
I know.
She's really, really hot.
I had no idea when I started May how many Michelle Pfeiffer musicals I was going to watch this month, but I wound up watching two. I watched this one and Grease 2. And this is also sort of like a Grease reunion because this is another really. I laughed out loud at this trivia. So John Travolta in this movie back from Grease 1, right?
Okay.
And Michelle Pfeiffer is the star of Grease 2.
Oh.
Apparently, I want to get this right, when they were on set between takes, John Travolta one day started singing Summer Nights, which he's. he's got a great voice in that movie. In this movie,
terrible.
I don't know if it's because he's in that 30-pound fat suit. I don't know if it's because he's older. Yep. I don't know if it's because he's out of shape as like a person.
Yep.
I don't know what it is, but his singing voice in this movie is, or maybe because he's trying to sing as a woman. I don't know what it is, but like, it's not great in this movie. Do you agree or do you?
It's fucking awful. I thought that it was terrible, dude. I couldn't even listen to him because he's like singing, and it's like I can hear his brain going in and out of being like, I'm supposed to be a woman, so he like kind of like up pitches some things, and then he's like, I'm still John Travolta, and then sings it like a man, and it's like this like in between shit. I'm just like, dude, just pick one.
Yeah, but apparently between takes he started singing Summer Nights. The on IMDb it says that Amanda Bynes and Zac Efron were so excited that they immediately grabbed their phones and started texting their friends what was happening. And I just, like, left. I was like, what a couple of theater nerds. Like, oh my god, you guys, like, right now, you know, like, he's probably texting, like, Vanessa Hudgens and Sharpay and everybody and being like, oh my god, they're singing Summer Nights right now. Like, oh, can you believe it? Like, I'm coming right now. Oh.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I bet they were super stoked that I mean, like, I would be stoked to see this live, too. Like, if you were, like, a young kid and, like, doing a movie like this. Especially if he just came off High School Musical. Like, that's, like, one of the most classic musicals ever, so.
So this movie, going back to John Waters for a second. So it's about this girl who is in love with Zeph. And he's kind of perfectly cast in this movie that he's just like this, like, there's no depth to his character at all. Like, he's just this beautiful boy who's on TV, which I was shocked that he goes to school with them.
This is the same thought that I had. I couldn't, well, I mean, I guess it's like, it's what, set in the 60s or something?
Yep, so, yep, 62.
So, it's set in the 60s and, like, I guess maybe there wasn't, like, all of these, like, child stars that just existed as stars. So that part was kind of believable. But at the same time, it's like, they're all coming out of this one school and he doesn't know who this other chick is. You know what I mean? Like how many dancing theater kids are there in the school? Like, they had to, like, know all right. of them. So I guess it's just for the story. But still, it's kind of weird. Why did they go to school with them? And, like, is there one school in Baltimore? And, like, how are they in such, like, this racist place, but they also have black kids in the school, but they just put them in detention all the time? It's weird.
Well, I mean, the good news is that by the end of the movie, Tracy solves racism, which is
why in real life
and in The Wire, there's no racist elements. Everything is just like black and white together.
Yeah, exactly. Integration, man. Forever. From that moment on, the show was integrated, and that's how you got to The Wire.
It's about this daytime program that has one day a month is Negro Day, which I was like, oh, okay, this is where we're going.
That feels gross to just come out of my mouth, right? Like, I don't even want to say it on this pod. I'm sorry. I'm going to say it to discuss it, but at the same time, like, that's the most disgusting thing I could say
in a while. I mean, it's rated PG, so, like, things don't get real bad, but they use colored, they're, like, all this different stuff.
Yeah, I mean, like, those are words, that's okay, but, like,
I don't know how this happened, but Michelle Pfeiffer didn't realize her character was racist until halfway through shooting. Which,
how?
I don't know.
Like, that's one of my favorite jokes at the beginning is, like, let's make things white.
Yeah. She and almost Sharpay are basically Trump's America. That they're like, no blacks, you know, like, we're gonna, white power, we want the whites, like, all, like, they're just, you know, subtly trying to pull the strings behind the scenes to, like, get the daughter to win. Like, it's just, how do you not know that you're racist? I mean, obviously not the actress, but, like, the character. Like, that's, did you just not read the script?
She must not have read the script. I want to know how much they paid her for this movie if she could have been halfway through the script and not realized she was racist. Also, how the fuck hasn't she seen this movie before? Like, as somebody that was in Greece, how did you just, like, skip Hairspray? Isn't this, like, a theater nerd type of, like...
Absolutely, I think so.
I think it's pretty big up there, right? Like, Hairspray's, like, one that I had heard of before, you know? So it's, like, if I heard of it and I hate musicals and, like, never seek them out, it must have been, like, something.
Yeah, no, I agree. Especially in a movie, which is what I'm getting at, that, like, the whole theme is integration and segregation. You know, it's just all,
and
like,
racism,
that's what it's all about, to not know that you're basically one of the biggest, I mean, not that she's, like, a villain in the movie, but, like, one of the biggest villains.
Villain.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I get it.
The
she's
obstacle
like a...
you have to overcome.
Yeah.
Like, wake up.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck she was reading, but... Okay, Michelle Pfeiffer, stay hot. I hope she's listening to
the host of that Corny Collins show. Yeah, I hope she's listening too.
I hope she's listening. And just, Michelle Pfeiffer, if you're listening, send emails, please.
The host of the Corny Collins show is James Marsden, who I would have sworn was in Zeph movies.
No, but he's obviously in Westworld.
He is. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's in all the X-Men movies and everything.
Oh, that's right.
But he fits. Like, he feels like he should be in Zeff movies. Maybe it's like Zeff's older brother or something. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, yeah. He could be a nice Zeff accompaniment. I like it. I mean, we got little Franco, who's like, you know, King Zeff. King Zeff. Buddy, but he would be like, he could have been Teddy's mentor in, you know, Neighbors or something, right? This is what I feel like is going
on. Then like, and when he flips the script in the second one and becomes the mentor to Chloe Grace Moretz and her whole gang, like, it would have been like a, oh, you know, mentor mentee, like, flipped it. But, you know, No, he's just sort of like that already made Greek god in the first movie.
Yeah, true. Did you notice, I'm going back a little bit, but did you notice how terrible John Travolta's accent is? He's pretty much doing, like a shitty Pittsburgh accent the whole
time.
He's
doing Baltimore by way of Pittsburgh, yeah.
Right? It sounded so Pittsburgh to me. Like, there was, like, many, many things that, like, I've heard people say.
That's what I realized from The Wire, and I think I messaged you about this as I was watching. Like, the Baltimore accent sort of sounds like the Pittsburgh accent. Like, the Pittsburgh accent is...
Does it? To me, yeah, as someone who grew up in Pittsburgh, to me, the Pittsburgh accent is obviously normal, right? And then Baltimore sounds a little bit different, but...
To an outsider, if you will,
okay,
the Baltimore accent sounds like a tamed-down version of the Pittsburgh accent.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, like, I can't hear it being differently. Like, to me, the Baltimore accent is its own thing, because even if it is similar to the Pittsburgh one, like, I'm entrenched in the Pittsburgh one, so I don't notice it.
But yeah, like, from the beginning, and I feel like with the accent in this movie, they're giving him words to say that are in that accent. Like, just, I guess...
Yeah.
Maybe
like the
writing,
the
character.
Yeah, like the writing is like taking a travel through the words that they're picking.
Yeah, I don't remember what the line is, but he says something that, like, and like four or five of the words in the sentence are all just like super accenty words. It's just like, because not everything you say is gonna have that accent, like that stress on it. But he has like one sentence when he's talking about doing the laundry, which another Pulp Fiction reference. He's like, you know, if you want to make in this world, make sure you can get blood out of upholstery.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
So apparently that's been in the stage play. That was in the original movie or whatever. But in Pulp Fiction, he shoots Marvin in the head.
Yep.
Gets blood everywhere. Has to get blood out of upholstery.
Yep.
So it's funny there. But like when he's describing that, he has like four or five things that are just like super, super accent heavy.
Yeah. I was really disappointed with this accent. I was like, stop. But yeah, whatever you want, John Travolta, you're a great actor. So,
oh, we also have, so on the Courtney Collins show, I went to college with a girl named Courtney Collins.
Ooh.
And I realized that, like, it's basically the same name. So every time I say Courtney, I feel like I'm mispronouncing it.
Okay, well, shout out to Courtney. I hope you're listening to this.
Shout out to Courtney.
Joey didn't forget you.
I worked with her on the newspaper. And this movie opens with a newspaper. This movie opens with a newspaper that we're like, that sets the time and place. So, I mean, it all comes together.
It's all a connection. I hope she's listening, and I hope she writes that love letter she never gave you before.
In this movie, I don't know how this is rated PG, we have girls stuffing bras and dudes stuffing their pants.
Oh, interesting. I caught the girls stuffing the bras. I didn't catch the dudes stuffing their pants, but that's fucking awesome. Good for them.
So in the beginning of the movie, when they're like dancing around, they're trying to sex it up or whatever, the girl takes something out of her bra and gives it to Michelle Pfeiffer, and a dude takes basically a pair of rolled up socks out of his pants, and it's like, it's a quick cut, but like, dude has like a huge sock dick, and then he just takes it out to like sex it down, I guess. I don't know why.
Hashtag sock wiener.
I don't get it, but whatever.
No, I don't get it either. That's really fucking weird for a PG movie. I want to know how women can suspend, like, you know, there's a lot of pissed off women in this country, right? Especially like conservative pissed off women. And I want to know how they can suspend their logic to allow shit like this in a movie. Like, why wasn't this protested? You know what I mean? Like, they're like, oh no, it's Hairspray, and I kind of like that it's about racism, so that's cool. But like, they won't bitch about the sock dick. I don't know. People complain about weird things and let other weird things slide.
Yeah.
For me, like, if I was screening this movie, I'd be like, hey, you guys gotta remove the sock dick stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Like, even girls stuffing their bras, I'd be like, come on, can we, like, you know, make that a little bit faster or something? Why, how the fuck did that get through on a PG movie? I don't know.
That was my main question, like, most of the entire time. Like, how is this in a PG movie?
Yeah, I don't know. John Travolta was in it. Michelle Pfeiffer didn't know she was racist, so it was okay.
Just nobody is woke on set, I guess.
Yeah. Apparently everybody was just cashing checks the whole fucking time while Zeff's texting High School Musical about what John Travolta's doing next. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great set to be on if that's what's happening.
Yeah, I'm down.
So, like, the plot of this movie is that, you know, this pleasantly plump is how she's described, this girl Tracy, who's in love with Zeph, in love with this TV show.
Yes.
They're holding auditions because another sort of risque thing for a PG movie, or maybe it's just like a joke or whatever.
That was kind of a joke. I like this one. This one can
Corny's
slide.
Sidekick is like, I'm leaving for, he's like, for how long? She's like, 9 months. So obviously she got knocked up by probably someone on set.
Probably Corny, honestly.
Probably by Corny, yep. She, and you can also tell that like in this world, there's a lot of promiscuity because Michelle Pfeiffer talks about how like when she won Miss Teenage Hairspray 3 years in a row, she won because she slept with all the judges.
Yes, she explicitly says that,
yep.
In her number.
In a PG movie.
That was actually a really great number. Yeah, I like the music. I want to talk about the music in this movie, but I like that it was like Miss Baltimore Crab or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome. Like, these kind of little jokes are what kept me involved in it. It wasn't like super nerdy theater nerd kind of jokes. Like, that's just funny to me, you know what I mean? Like, it was just so stupid. Like, the whole thing is so stupid. It was awesome.
And then, like, later in the movie, which I guess when she's referencing that time and that song or whatever, she's like, oh, when Tracy's trying to sneak in at the end to, you know, be at the contest.
Yes.
Michelle Pfeiffer says something like, you know, I risked communicable diseases for this thing. She'll risk jail time. Like, you know, I got crabs. I miss Baltimore crabs or whatever.
Yeah.
She's gonna come in here. Whatever. Yeah, so the plot is that, you know, that girl gets knocked up. She's going away. So they need a new sidekick. So Tracy wants to do it. She shows up, basically gets fat shamed into leaving.
Yeah, that was terrible. Then, but okay, whatever. It was the 60s. I mean, like, yeah, but still. Ow.
Goes to school the next day, gets in detention, goes to detention.
And detention is just like, you know, this is just
it's fire. In your words, it's fire flames lit. Like, there's no teachers around. It's 100% black kids dancing to cool music.
Yeah, I wonder if this was a social commentary on, like, the prison systems at the time. You know what I mean? Because it's like, that's the first thing I thought, is I was like, oh, like, one white girl shows up, and she's like, this is where we keep all the black people. You know what I mean? It was like, it was really weird that she just goes to detention, and they're, like, all in jail, essentially. I wonder if that's what they meant. If not, that's how I read it, because I thought that was, like, pretty interesting.
And Tracy is a massive hit, and I mean, that sounds like a play on her weight, and that's not what I mean, but she's a huge hit.
She's really big.
She's a really big hit.
Heavy. No, it was like, a heavy.
She fits in with them. She's all about integration. That's like, she's consistent throughout. Like, she's,
but they do accept her pretty immediately, which I didn't like. Like, she walks in, does like half a dance, like half a two-step, and then they're like, oh, you're perfect. Awesome.
But also, this movie is 2 hours long, and like, if she had to like grow to gain their trust, like, it would have been like 2.5 hours. Like, it would have been so long.
Yeah, true. But fucking musicals are long as shit anyways. Like, give me the extra half an hour for her to, like, work up through that, as opposed to making me sit through some other bullshit. So she's now with the detention crew, the Breakfast Club, right?
Yeah, so they're in detention, right? Yeah, and I don't know, I think Zeph, that's what happens. So Zeph is walking down the hall, and I feel like he's at the school just for, like, this kind of thing to happen. You know, like, he's walking down the school, and he hears music, and he looks in the classroom, and sees her dancing, and he's like, whoa, daddy, like... He basically tells her that if you do this for Corny, he'll love it, you'll be on the show. And she's like, really? And so then we go to the record hop, and I think this is...
But dude, she's like, boom, on the show. Like, that's it. Like, there's no transition from her, like, not being... It was, like, not on the show, dancing... on the show, like, just 1, 2, 3, like, it's like, yeah.
But again, like, you don't, like, it's I think it's just the, you know, get to the story. Like, I don't know how this was 2 hours long. Like, there's so much stuff in here. Like, there's so many things that happen in this movie.
Yeah, it does move pretty fast, but at the same time, you have that, like, 20-minute laundry folding scene. So, like, I don't know when anything happened. Or the seduction, like, the joke seduction. That scene was also, like, 15 minutes long.
That's important because, like, it breaks up Christopher Walken and John Travolta's marriage. But then, like, 2 scenes later, they're back together and there's a song about them getting back together. So, like, I feel like this is kind of the... I sort of want to watch the original because I feel like this is, like... Yeah, I feel like this is like a, we need to get to these songs, we added this other stuff in, so like, we need to have everything happen quickly.
And we need to show so much of Michelle Pfeiffer.
Right.
We need to show so much of John Travolta, because like, they're in it, that this is what happened. Let me see the runtime. I'm looking up the runtime of the other one. The runtime, so the runtime of the original was 132.
An hour 32 or 132?
An hour 32. So they added like another half an hour of content, at least.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. So we need to watch the original and see what the fuck happened in this.
Yeah, I don't know. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what happens when you try to, like, when you want to combine the movie and the stage show and your original ideas. Now you have, like, three sources of material trying to become one thing, and you're like, I don't know how to do all this.
Yeah, exactly. And plus, like I was saying before, I'm sure that they were like, if we have John Travolta in this, we have to give him so much time. If we have Michelle Pfeiffer in this, like, Christopher Walken needs so much screen time to, like, be right. in the movie. Like, it was a good move, honestly. Like, if I was a producer, director, and, like, I had this lineup of, like, you know, actors, I would try to give them all their couple minutes, right? Like, as opposed to, like, having somebody just, like, breeze through in the background or something.
There was another thing on IMDb, and I don't know where this was true, because it's not true in the credits or on IMDb or whatever, but they said that Allison Janney was top billed, and they said, which is weird because she's only in the movie for like 3 minutes.
I'll be honest, I didn't even catch her. I don't know where she was. I don't know what I was doing, but like I missed it, but like I don't.
Oh, she's Amanda Bynes' mom.
Oh, damn it. Really? Damn.
So yeah, so in the beginning of the, so she's in like
that makes
two
sense.
Or three scenes.
It's the short hair thing that freaked me out, man. Oh yeah, but yet now it's I can definitely see her face in my head, so.
At the beginning of the movie when they're dancing to Corny Collins in John Travolta's house, where he hasn't left the apartment in 11 years, like there's so many things that are just like, yeah. Oh, I guess this is gonna be a thing now. And then, like, as soon as he mentions that, the next scene, he's outside. Like,
yep.
Welcome to Baltimore.
I thought that this was gonna be a long struggle.
Which I guess that's also the sort of the thing that, like, you know what song is coming. So, like, I haven't left my house. You know, I haven't gone out to see Baltimore. And then, like, it's like, welcome to Baltimore. You know, and it's just like, all right. But yeah, so they're dancing, and Amanda Bynes hides because Rachel's cousin comes over to pick up the laundry.
Yes.
And John Travolta's like, you know, like, it was dirtier. Like, I had to use the rocks to get out. Or, so I don't know what she's doing to her clothes, but, like, something gross and filthy.
Yeah, and she had a lot of personal stains and had to use rocks to get them out. See, again, PG movie. What the fuck
PG
is that
movie.
About?
Okay. I don't know. And then later in the movie, she kidnaps or sort of like abducts Tracy when Tracy's wanted by the cops. She locks her in the basement.
Yep.
And then at the very end of the movie, when she sees Amanda Bynes dancing with that guy Seaweed, the black guy named Seaweed on TV,
yeah.
She like flips out and falls over the table.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. She's in the movie. I just totally missed her. I just didn't put it together. Now that you said it, I was like, oh, yeah, that's definitely her. But
yep.
I was like, I saw the billing after, like, I stopped the movie. I was on the IMDb to try to figure out if the blonde girl, I was really thinking that the blonde chick that plays, like, you know, fake Sharpe, that she was the wife in Dirty Grandpa. I really thought that they might have been the same person.
Oh.
And I was hoping to make a Zefnection, but I couldn't. Sorry.
What other Zeph movie was Allison Janney? Was she in Liberal Arts? Was that? Yeah, right?
She was in Liberal Arts,
yes.
Yeah. And she was in something else. I think she's been in a couple Zeph movies. Wasn't she?
Let me take a look.
She's like a part in like some of the other ones, too.
Let me see here.
We've definitely watched some movies where we talked about her before. Like, multiple movies where we've talked about her.
Yeah, we've brought her up a couple times. All right, let's see here. She was in one episode of Lost, really?
What?
She was in one episode of Lost. She was in Liberal Arts.
Yeah. She plays Slutty Teacher. If you're going forward to backwards, then that would have been it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that was it.
So we just must have talked about her a lot on that episode, I guess.
Hold on, I'm gonna look it up one other way. Hold on, Zac Efron, Allison Janney. I think it's just these two.
Oh,
yeah,
damn.
Just those two. It does feel like she's been in another one.
Right, we've talked about her a lot.
I think we must have just talked about her a lot on that Liberal Arts episode because we had nothing else to talk about.
Yeah, true. That, and also we always, like, comment on Zeph, like, banging older women, so I think that we were always, like, reverting back to talking about Allison Janney and Liberal Arts, and
yep.
Who else, all these other old, beautiful women.
Oh, Nicole Kidman in Paperboy.
Nicole Kidman.
The record hop is Zeph's first, it's really, like, the one, like, Zeph has basically two songs in this movie, and that's where we can talk about the music. I liked it was fine, but, like, there's nothing memorable to me here. And I don't know if it was
musically
notes or yeah.
Yeah, so I agree. The music was fine, but at the same time, watching La La Land, I can't tell you any fucking song from La La Land. Like, I can't. I know that you liked it and you remember the songs, but I find none of them.
So La La Land, there's basically there's three songs in La La Land. There's the opening song where they're in the cars, right? Then there is the audition song where Emma Stone sings. And then there's the City of Stars, which is the one that won the Oscar, which is the one that, like, they sing when they
Okay, that one's good, and now I remember it only because we were, like, listening to it before the Oscars and stuff like that. Like, that's why I remember it, not because, like, when I walked out of the movie, I looked at Rachel and said, like, I can't tell you any song that happened in that movie, like, or any words from any song that happened.
There's so many songs in here, and, like, they're not bad, like, they're good. Like, I'm not well-versed enough in musical theater or musicals to, like, maybe say good or bad, but I feel like, I think it's just for a different demographic, but the High School Musical songs were so much more memorable than the ones here.
Yeah, they were just catchier. I think that they were written to be catchier. I don't know if maybe they used, like, a lot of the old songs from the musical or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how much of they kept true to the first movie or the stage play.
Right.
So that's what I'm kind of curious about. But yeah, the only one that I remember was the Baltimore Crabs thing because Michelle Pfeiffer caught, and I thought that was really funny. You know what I mean? Like Baltimore Crabs, and she's talking about.
And I don't even remember that honestly. Like I know that it was a song because I went through the movie a second time looking for Zeph songs, and he's on five. He's credited on five songs. He's credited on It Takes Two, which we only hear basically the last line of. Like I think it's something that's like happening on TV. Oh, It Takes Two, I think, is the song that they're singing right before they announce Negro Day. It's something like, we literally hear the last song and like we cut to Corny saying something. So it's not much at all. Then we have Lady's Choice, which I like, which is the one where they're at the record hop. And that's where Tracy shows off for Corny and catches his eye. And okay. she's dancing in that circle.
Yeah, yeah, that's when Zeph is singing, because he actually is singing. They give him like a stage and he has a band and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, I remember.
Then there's
that one
Without Love, which is the other big Zeph song, which is where he goes to Tracy's house and goes up to her bedroom and then like eats her Baby Ruth bar and kisses her photograph.
Yes.
While Seaweed is singing the same song when he goes and rescues Amanda Bynes,
yep,
who's been bound and tied to her bed by Alice and Janney.
Yeah. That was a good premonition of Kinks for Amanda Bynes. I was like, oh, tie Amanda Bynes up. That works.
So those are the two big Zeph songs, and those are the two other ones is You Can't Stop the Beat, which he barely sings on, but that's the one at the final, at the talent show, like when the rocket ship comes down, and then he's on Come So Far, Got So Far to Go, which is over the credits, which is the first song in the credits, which is what
And he actually has like a verse in that, which was pretty cool. This wasn't super memorable to me. His singing wasn't, it's good. It's like
there's nothing. There's nothing like Get Your Head in the Game, though.
No, no, we're not even close to a High School Musical song, and I was really hoping, because we had never seen Hairspray, I was really hoping that we would have had a full-on Zeph High School Musical version. You know, like I wanted him to be more prominent, like we said before.
Did you get a sense from Rachel, like she said that they messed this up, but does she love the music?
I don't know.
If she had a strong enough opinion to say that they messed it up, I'm guessing she loved the music, or at least loved some of the music, you know what I mean? Because if you love a musical, I guess you could love the story, but you probably also mostly love
the music. Yeah, it has to be based, like the music is the skeleton of every musical, so I'm thinking that she had seen the stage play version a bunch, or maybe once, or whatever.
Oh, okay.
But she will do this, and then she will listen to the music for it, like in the car and stuff, if she's driving and like I'm not
right,
there.
Right, right, right.
So I'm thinking that's what she was saying too. Yeah, that's the sense that I'm gonna get from it, is that she meant that she really liked the old music, and she forgot that they had like changed the music so much and cut songs. That's just a prediction.
I don't want to be too critical on the songs because like I feel like people love this, but I just there's nothing. As someone who this is the first time that we've seen it, like there's nothing that really stood out.
Nope, I definitely agree. Yeah,
and like there's the scene that you know where Michelle Pfeiffer is trying to seduce Christopher Walken, and I'm like, to what end? Like, what is going on here? And I think her ultimate plan is to have Travolta catch them, which he does, and then Travolta says, Tracy, I don't want you on that show anymore. But like that feels like a really weird roundabout way to get to that.
Yeah. I want to know how they made this happen in the other versions, because you're right. It did feel very convoluted. For any reason to kick Tracy off, it's like Michelle Pfeiffer has to like sleep. I guess that plays to her character, you know, because she's like, I'm like a whore that like gets everything from banging people. So maybe that's like her like normal weapon to do stuff like this. And like that's how they could include that. But like Christopher Walken's character throughout the whole movie just plays like nicest guy ever. Totally loves his wife, so it's kind of hard to believe.
Yeah, like that scene where there's the seduction, like I don't remember that song at all, but
there
I remember
was a song in that
Walken.
One?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, I don't
she's
remember.
I think she's singing to him, but like he's got the big, like he's just like it's one prank after another.
Yeah,
because like I think the whole thing is like she's trying to seduce him, and like you know he's got this whole shop of gags that he then turns into a Tracy shop, which I thought was kind of cool. that he goes and sells and becomes like this, you know, massive hit as she becomes a massive hit. But she's trying to sing to seduce him, and he's just not into it. Like, he's just in love with Travolta. And, you know, of course, the timing, you know, Michelle Pfeiffer straddles him as Travolta walks in, and, like, the, you know, the end result is the same.
If I was John Travolta, I would have had to reshoot that scene, like, 75 times. Just have Michelle Pfeiffer straddle me over and over and over again.
You mean if you were Christopher Walken?
Oh, yeah, Christopher Walken, sorry. Yeah, yeah, I would be like, oh, whoops. Messed that
and
up.
And they were both in Batman Returns. They were, she was Catwoman,
oh, really?
And he was Max Schreck, which is sort of the,
oh,
I think, the main bad guy.
That's so right. Okay, cool. I need to rewatch that one then. Awesome.
So a 15-year reunion for the two of them.
Yeah, and everyone in this movie, apparently.
Yeah, but, yeah, so, that, like, that's just an example of, like, how every song, like, there's a lot of songs, and all the songs sort of move the story forward. I don't get, like, nothing stands out to me.
Yeah, I need to ask Rachel if she, like, actually likes the music from this one, and which one she likes, or...
We'll have Rachel write in for hate mail,
zackattack@cageclub.me.
We will read anything on air, but if you love these songs in Hairspray, let us know, and which ones do you like, and, did this movie do them justice?
Yeah, because I'm honestly probably never going to watch the original Hairspray.
Even though, like, 20 minutes ago, like, wow, we really got to watch that one. Like, yeah, it's probably not going
to
happen.
I have a lot more shit on my list to do. Write us some hate mail, please.
They get to the end where there's the Miss Teenage Hairspray contest, which I don't know... Oh, you just become a permanent dancer. I think the winner...
You become head dancer.
Dancer. Yeah.
You become head dancer of the corny show.
But it feels like low stakes for, like... not Sharpay, because she's already on the show.
Yeah, and I think she already is head... But I think you get, like, dethroned, too. So I think that's what she's worried about.
Oh, because she had won already. Okay, oh, she's defending her...
Yes.
She's defending her crap.
That's what... Because she says it at some point. She's like, I am Miss Teen Hairspray.
Okay. Well, you come at the queen, you best not miss.
Yeah. Thank you for that rip. That was so perfect. I just need to take a second to regroup after that one. Well, good. That was really good.
But yeah, so like the police are on high alert. Why is Tracy wanted by the cops?
Because she hits him with the sign.
Yes.
At the march.
That there's the whole, there's Queen Latifah is in this movie.
Yes.
And
we haven't even talked about her yet. She plays a pretty cool role.
Yeah, the Michelle Pfeiffer says that there's no more Negro Day at the show. Instead of one day a month, it's 0 days a month. And so they're having a march on the TV station to protest. So there's like this whole
song.
Yeah,
like a nice peaceful march to protest. Like, they're not even doing anything bad. This is pretty awesome. Like, no looting, no fucking around. They just like walk up and they're just like, we just want to have Negro Day again.
And then the cops break it up, and Tracy hits somebody with a sign, then runs away.
Well, no, he's talking to Queen Latifah, and then he just, like, dismisses her, and Tracy, like, to get his attention, like, taps him with the sign on the back. All hell breaks loose. Also, don't ever touch a cop. Especially, yeah, just don't touch cops.
Especially not in Baltimore.
Especially not in Baltimore.
No, no real police in Baltimore.
Yeah, yeah, don't touch a cop. Especially a white cop when you have a bunch of black people around you. Probably not
yep.
a good idea.
Because then you're going to get Presbo, like, accidentally, like, clocking, you know, not maybe not accidentally, but, you know, punching a guy in the face and then getting...
Or just shooting everyone. Presbo just shoot everyone. He's accidentally shot, like, six people.
Then he becomes a teacher at this high school, you know, and then he runs detention, and he's cool with the kids. I mean, like, it all comes around.
Yeah, maybe Presbo's running the detention where the black kids are dancing. You know what I mean?
I did really like in the finale of The Wire how Presbo shows up with a beard, and he's sort of, like, in with the kids now. Like, he has it under control.
Yeah.
Like, we haven't seen him at all in season 5, so, like, it's here. Like, you know, I feel like the detention that we see in this movie is sort of detention from season 4 of The Wire, where he's, like, everything's out of control.
Nothing makes any sense, yeah.
Exactly. But then next, if we see Hairspray 2, then stuff's going to be under control, and Presbo's going to be there. It's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, like more choreographed dancing, less loose freeform dancing.
But yeah, so what I did like was that they have cops outside the Miss Teenage Hairspray contest, and Michelle Pfeiffer's like, you know, she's going to show up to this. They somehow get the idea that maybe Tracy was there before anybody got there, and she's like in the building.
Yeah.
So the cops have to break in, but like they lock the doors, and so they take the Miss Hairspray can, like this huge can outside, and use it as a battering ram.
Yeah.
And get in, and they don't find Tracy inside. But then they realize, they're like, that can sure was heavy. And Michelle Pfeiffer was like, no, it's supposed to be empty. That it was like a Trojan horse situation, that Tracy is now in the show, and she comes down from the rafters in the rocket ship.
Yep.
And upstages everyone.
Yep.
But I feel like, so this is what's weird.
Okay.
And I think it's just sort of the world of the show.
That you just described the most fucked up situation. Wait, hold on. You just described the most fucked up logical situation ever. And you go, and then this is why it's weird. A person hiding in a can of hairspray,
yeah.
Cops using it as a battering ram. That was fine.
With
but,
Christopher Walken dressed as his daughter as a diversion.
Yes. that was it.
But no, but like, what's weird, like, I'm building up that, we can get back to that, but like, all season long, there's like this tally board of who is Miss Teenage Hairspray.
Yeah.
And I guess like there's voting all year long or whatever.
Yeah, it's like American Idol or something.
Right. Amber, not Sharpay, is in the lead, and Tracy seems to be number two. That, you know, she's very popular, but not Sharpay has the lead. Yeah. Whatever. This final show is where all the votes are.
Yes.
And so
okay,
there's like,
I know you're
five
to,
white
though.
Girls that we don't know.
Yeah.
And then there is not Sharpay. None of them do anything of note. Like, they're all boring. And I guess that's sort of the thing. But then when Tracy comes in, she's scaled back, too. Like, I don't think she did anything special.
Yeah. And you're getting to the main point, which is...
Zeph calls over Inez,
yes.
The little black girl, which is Queen Latifah's daughter.
Yes.
And she steals the show, and she wins Miss Teenage Hairspray. Even though there's no way she's a teenager. But she wins Miss Teenage Hairspray. And Corny's like, well, I guess that's it. Our show is integrated now. And everybody cheers, and then everybody dances together.
So I think that Zeph is actually the one that cured racism in this movie.
It's very possible.
Because by him pulling her over, Zeph cures racism. Zeph gets
right.
rid of all of racism in the world by pulling over the black girl to dance with. What?
But Tracy cures him... And then he cures racism.
By association. Okay, that's fine. I just like to believe that Zeph cured all the racism.
It's a tag team effort, but yeah. And then at the very end...
It's mainly Zeph,
of course.
Okay.
I mean, this isn't Tracy attack, this is Zach attack.
Yeah. Oh, I have a good note on that. Rachel told me that she said this. I don't know if it's true or not. We could fact check her, but I believe it. She said that the girl that plays Tracy was just like some no-name girl, and they had like an open casting... To,
mm-hmm.
like, find a girl, and, like, she just won, and, like, that's...
Yeah, I don't know about the open casting, I believe that, but this was definitely her first movie, and she celebrated her 18th birthday on set, but yeah, this is, like, her debut, and she's great in this.
Yeah, I think she's honestly one of the best people in there.
And at the very end of the movie, she gets to kiss Zeph, which is, like, I mean, a great prize for anybody.
Yeah, fuck yeah, I'll take that prize.
So earlier in the movie, you know, when they're doing that song, Without Love, and he's in her bedroom, and he kisses the photo frame, I don't know if this is true, because it seems ridiculous, but there was a thing on IMDb that said the director made him make out with that photo for an hour?
Huh, why?
Which I feel like is an exaggeration and, like, a lie, but I still would love a world where the Zac Efron that we know and love made out with a photo, like a picture frame, for an hour.
Yeah, I want to see that deleted scene. All 55 minutes.
I watched it again, because, like, I read that, and I was like, I don't remember that happening, and, like, he kisses it, but, like, as soon as he puts his lips to it, it cuts away to the seaweed and Amanda Bynes. So, like, it happens on screen, but, like, basically, it could be, like, a peck, it could be, like, whatever, and then they just cut away.
Yeah.
So, they don't need an hour of footage for it, but...
I don't think so, at least.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe they did.
But then at the end, like, they get, like, an actual, like, not like a makeout kiss, but like, they get, like, a long kiss
between the two of them, so. A long kiss. Not really tongue, but a long kiss.
And this is Zeph at, like, the beginning of his superstardom.
Yeah, so she got in
because High School Musical had already come out, so yeah, I mean, this girl,
she
win the contest, but she won, yeah, like, that's woo.
Yeah, good for her, man. That's pretty awesome.
And then Michelle Pfeiffer gets her comeuppance at the end that she switched the tallies, which I
don't know how this
worked.
Everything.
Because Inez still won.
Michelle Pfeiffer just melts in, like, the last 3 minutes. They're like, you're fired, you're racist, you fucked with the vote, Hairspray gives you cancer. Like, just, like, everything just crumbles around her. Like, they give you the best, most cookie-cutter, perfect ending, where it's just, like, they just crush her over and over and over again, all in, like, 2 minutes. I was like, damn, wow.
Yeah, so it's a happy ending for every character, whether we care about them or not. Like, or not a happy ending for every character, but, like, the right ending for every character.
Yes, the most logical, correct ending for every character. I would agree.
And racism is solved, so that's that.
Yeah, and then there's no more racism, and that's how... life became so perfect, and the world was right. All was right in the world.
A little bit of some more trivia. It took John Travolta 4 hours to put on the 30-pound fat suit and 5 gel-filled silicone face prosthetics to become Edna Turnblad. So that's a long time to get into that
fat
suit.
Every time we read a fact like this, it's always this. Like, anytime somebody uses prosthetics on, like, on their face or something,
yep.
It's always like, it took 6 hours to do this every day. And you're like, seriously? Like,
he probably got on set at, like, 6 o'clock in the morning and just sat in the chair and, like, fell asleep, or, you know what I mean? And then, like,
yeah,
was ready to shoot by 10.
How do you do that?
Crazy.
That's a long time to be with someone. Like, what is that? Like, I think that it's weird being alone with someone getting a massage for an hour. Like, how much should you talk or not talk to them? Like, I barely talk to the person that cuts my hair. So, like, what the fuck do you say to the person that's, like, rubbing shit on your face all the
morning? I don't know.
I don't know either, dude.
He also apparently had some input because he wanted to make it look more realistic than look like a fat suit, which I guess it kind of does. Like, it's not just like a, like, it's not a, well.
But his face looks plasticky by now.
Yeah. What looks better to you, this fat suit or Miss Doubtfire fat suit?
I honestly like the Miss Doubtfire one better. I think a Miss Doubtfire one looks, I don't know if it's Robin Williams, like, the shape of his face or something. I could just see John Travolta so easily through the fat suit. Like, it was just John Travolta's wacky-ass plastic surgery to me.
I think what looks better, I'm not sure which one looks better, but I think what looks better in this one is when John Travolta is at that dress shop run by Jerry Stiller, that he's changing into a dress, and they sort of open
show
the
his arms
early.
Yeah.
And they show like him in like the slip and the underwear
too.
Or whatever.
I noticed
and that
this
looked
too.
That looked pretty okay.
It looked great.
Because in Mrs. Doubtfire, you know, it's literally just a fat suit. Like, in the movie, it's a fat suit on a character, as opposed to just like the character is the fat, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Also, what's also crazy is that Robin Williams was considered for the Travolta role.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
He should have been the Travolta role. I think I would have liked that better, but I don't know about his singing and dancing. I mean, Travolta's an obvious choice. It's a good choice. It's a safe choice.
Yeah.
But I would like to have it been Robin Williams just because I like Robin Williams.
The first day that the girl who played Tracy, this girl Nikki Blonsky, came on set, she apparently said this to Oprah on Oprah's show. The first day she got on set, John Travolta said to her, "Come to Mama."
He's such a weird fuck.
Which I think is kind of funny, whatever, yeah.
Come to Xanu.
Aretha Franklin auditioned for the Queen Latifah part.
Really? And didn't get it? Wait, Queen Latifah beat out Aretha Franklin?
Aretha Franklin.
Damn! Okay, wow.
Meryl Streep and Madonna were considered for the role of Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah, that's cool. Go, Meryl. I would love to have seen Meryl play this. She would actually have been a great villain in that. She like just seems like an evil villain, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But she's also not like hypersexualized, so it would have been kind of weird.
This is the second time Michelle Pfeiffer took Debbie Harry's role. Debbie Harry, the lead singer from Blondie. Apparently Debbie Harry was supposed to be in Grease 2 and in this movie, and Michelle Pfeiffer beat her at both times.
Nice. Go Michelle that poor chick hates Michelle Pfeiffer so bad.
Michelle Pfeiffer was originally arrested at the end of the movie, but that scene got cut.
Why is she arrested? Do we know why she would have been arrested?
For rigging the ballot, I guess, or being racist in the city that's post-racism now. I don't know.
Yeah. Racism's cured. Arrest all the racists. There we go.
Oh, in the beginning of the movie, when they're in that Good Morning Baltimore, when Tracy's walking down the street to go to school, and they're like, there's the town flasher. The town flasher is John Waters, the director from the original movie.
Oh, really?
Yep.
That's awesome. That's really, really cool. So the original director of this movie had to be awesome, because his sense of humor is super on par with mine.
Yeah.
Like,
you would like his movies. I think you should maybe watch, I don't know if you should watch the original Hairspray.
I'm going to now.
But I think
now.
You should watch some of his other stuff.
Yeah, if you can bring yourself back and like you're like, what character do you want to be? And you're like, the Flasher, obviously. Like, that would be my choice too. You know, like, I don't want a real role. I just want to be like a wacky person.
And the last thing is that Zeph was, I mean, this sort of seems obvious, but Zeph was cast or offered the role after the director saw him in High School Musical, which just makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's an obvious choice too. Like, once you saw Zeph killing it, you'd be like, okay, cool, perfect for this. I thought Zeph was actually going to be, like, the corny role, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that he would have been good in that, too.
Yeah, I think that those could have been interchangeable, honestly. But probably they needed the more, like, stronger dancer to be, like, the heartthrob, you know what I mean?
He does kill it in the as a dancer in this movie, like, he's great.
Yeah, he's slaying the whole time. Like, I'm not, like, somebody that notices a lot of dance stuff, but I know that he did really good.
Like, well, that was the thing that, like, I think I offended Rachel on one High School Musical episode where there were some scenes where, like, I wasn't impressed by his dancing and, like, other scenes where he was, but, like, here, I mean, he is really Elvising it up, and, like, he's great.
Yeah, he's fitting, like, the time period, like, dancing to the period, which was awesome. So, yeah, I like it.
That's all the notes and all the trivia that I have about the movie. You have anything else before we get into the games?
No, I think we did a really good job of summing up my feelings for the movie. I'm happy with that. We talked about everything. You got through everything after you sucked out all my cool facts that I wanted to say.
Yep.
Yeah, we got through the movie. And
totally cock-blocked you. I Zeph-blocked you.
You Zeph-blocked me, so.
I stuff blocked you.
Sock
blocked.
You sock wienered me.
Sock blocked.
Thanks. Sock blocked. Okay.
So mailbag, we have five emails.
Five emails? Who the fuck
Because Jess Collins
caught up
was
on some?
Catching up.
Yeah, yep. Okay, perfect.
So she
Hi, Jess.
Us five times.
Hello.
So this is on April 26th, which is like a month ago.
Yes.
Subject: hate mail. Guys, I want you to know I'm still listening. I'm still out here. Keep making shit. Don't let me down.
We won't. We will keep making shit even when you stop listening, Jess Collins.
She never will. She never will.
I hope
she's
not.
Always there for us.
Thank you.
Yeah, if you want to email us, we will read anything on air. ZackAttack@cageclub.me.
Just like Anchorman, he reads anything on the teleprompter. Just send it in.
So the Entourage episode...
Oh, she got to that one?
The Entourage episode, she... Next email is called Hate Mail Entourage Episode.
Okay.
And she said, worst episode. And then she said to you, Joe, stop being so depressed. And then she sent
stop
this picture.
Stop being so depressing? Or depressed?
Just depressed, because you were so bummed out about that episode,
yeah,
about that
dude,
movie.
Yeah, it just shot me down, man.
The TV
Sorry.
Show.
I'm better now. Look, I'm back. I'm back and better than ever. I got my fat suit on.
Oh, and as we're reading this, Jess Collins just shared a tweet with me saying, Reppin' Cage Club in VA today. So she's got her t-shirt on. She knows somehow that we're talking about her.
Yeah, her ears are burning. Wow, that's super cool.
Do you see this picture she put of Zeph crying?
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. I love Zeph crying. Crying Zeph is my favorite Zeph. Second only to shirtless Zeph.
Let me see here. Let me get this.
And shirtless and crying and running Zeph is obviously number one. Ever, ever, ever. That's just like God mode.
So I just posted there. This is a tweet from her husband. And she's got her feet in the kiddie pool looking like super relaxed with the Cage Club shirt on.
Yeah, she's looking like she's about to take some dick pics to send to you. It looks great.
So that she is repping Cage Club in VA today.
Awesome. I'm glad that she...
Actually, I'm going to message her right now. I'm messaging you live on air as we record Zack Attack. We are literally currently reading your fan mail and also this interaction.
Yes.
Little
Perfect.
Heart emoji.
Cool. Back cool. to the emails.
So that was number two. Number three.
Yes.
WTF is happening.
Okay. Whoa.
So she sent, there's no text in here. She sent two pictures. This
Let
is the
them.
First one. It's Zeph from a High School Musical movie with a lyric, hold up, at the bottom.
Yeah, it's Zeph's arms in this are so moving that it looks like
yep.
they're like cut off or something. I like it. That's a good picture. Good job. Nice
and
find.
And this is number two, which is a great picture. It's Zeph eating a donut, which looks fake, with a cat eyeing the donut.
Yeah, that's how I imagine Zeph most of the time. It's just this picture. That's how if I imagine myself as Zeph in this picture, is what I imagine.
She messaged back on Twitter saying, number one fan, Cage Club Network forever. So she's never going to leave us.
Awesome.
Never, ever, ever.
I hope not.
Now her next email was called Fire Ass Titles.
Fire Ass Titles.
And this is another game. That, remember, she suggested
yes.
the high school
yeah.
the
yeah.
title game.
Obviously.
So this is a picture that she put in there.
More pictures.
It is the Rageful Zeph song from High School Musical 2, where he's doing the sand, and it says Fire Ass Titles, and says Zack Attack on the top of. So she made this. And
that's awesome. I really
in
like.
In the email says the Joe's Fix movie titles. If I have the time to sit and re-listen to all of these Zack Attack episodes, which I will do someday because number one fan over here, I would write down all of the times you guys have reimagined a movie title. I know you can do it. Don't let me down. Get your fucking heads in the game. Serious about these fire-ass titles, I'll be waiting.
Yep, we've been playing. I wish that we did, like, a YouTube channel just so we could have this, like, pop up in the corner. You know what I mean? Like, now it's time for fire-ass titles. And it's just,
yes.
like, Zeph throwing.
I'm going to put this picture, though, that she made on the Facebook and the Twitter page because it's so good.
Yeah, that's perfect. I like it. Good job. Thanks, Jess.
And the last email she sent was also called Fire Ass Titles, and she said, guys, you did me proud today. Spot on with the renaming of me and Orson Welles. You played the game perfectly, it's exactly how I imagined it, and this made my Monday. Then she gave a list of her five favorite titles for me and Orson Welles that we did. Number one, actually, let's see here. Okay, I'm going to count it up from the bottom.
Okay,
so number five, she said, Springtime for Hitler. She said, I see what you did there, wonder who else did. Number four, Orson Steals My Girl. Number three, The Rehearsal. Then she added a note, this could be a horror film.
Yeah.
Number two, Opening Night. And she added a note, super ominous. And then number one, her favorite was The Walk-On Role, which I think was Mike's.
Yeah,
and
I think,
she said, this seems
Mike...
way sexier than the movie, which
yeah.
is true.
Yeah, it was good. That's a good one. The Walk-On Role.
And then she said, keep it going with the fire-ass titles in the future. And yes, that's now what I'll call them from now on with
we
this
will.
Image in my head, although I wish it had flames. So we're going to now rename this to be Fire-Ass Titles.
Can we put flames coming out of his hands? I want that. Sure. Like flame emojis, literally flame emojis. Like he's throwing Ooh. The flame emoji out. That's the only way I could make this better. Jess, I love the idea, and I'm just building on that. So thank you.
So that's all the fan mail. If you have fan mail, like I just said, we read everything verbatim. So email us zackattack@cageclub.me. Be the first person to email us that isn't Rachel, Jess, or Melissa. Be fan number 4. I see the download numbers. I know people are listening. Let us know that you're listening.
Or maybe they're just down. Like, maybe I just have, like, a bunch of cousins that download these to make me feel better about myself.
I'm surprised that your sister hasn't emailed in.
One, she doesn't like me. And two, she doesn't listen to these. I know. She just wants to yell at me about them. She just, like, will just, like, come in and she'll just, like, message me and be like, oh, High School Musical, sick. I hope you did a good one. And I'm like, you should listen to it. She's like, no. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'm surprised she hasn't sent emails either.
But have you sent me like screenshots that she sent you of her and all of her friends talking about Zack Attack?
Yeah, apparently.
Or maybe they're just talking about Zack Attack, but not actually listening to Zack Attack.
Maybe they were just talking about it. I hope that's if one of her friends hears this, write us in. Write emails, hate mail to me. Don't be nervous, anyone. Like, we're just gonna read it. Like, it's not gonna be like. Yeah, we're just
also
gonna
if you don't want me to read your name. Just say you don't want the name read. Like you
make
can,
a
like,
fake
you know,
name. You can make
or
a fake
name.
Yeah, fake name. Whatever you want here. It's like the
email addresses are free. Just send it.
Yeah. What is the like editor's thing? Like they always, you know, like when you do editorials in the newspaper, it's like, you know, scared and sad. You know, like
oh,
sign
like,
it as,
you, like when you're like writing in for like advice or whatever.
Yeah, like when you write into like help columns, just pick up a fucking random name. Nobody cares.
Well, there's the thing nom de plume, which I think is your pen name. Is that pen name? Not yeah, pen name. So, like, yeah. When J.K. Rowling was writing as Robert Galbraith to see if she could sell books without her name, that was her nom de plume. So, I mean, you could be a nom de plume when you email us. Just, you know, say it's signed, whatever, and I'll just read whatever's in the email,
or you
unless
be
it's
J.K.
from somebody
Rowling.
That we know.
I hope J.K. Rowling's writing us emails now. She was just maybe nervous, and she just didn't want to put her real name down.
She is such an influential person on Twitter. Like, imagine if she somehow found out about Zack Attack and then, like, retweeted us. Oh, boy.
I know.
The
yeah,
world
know.
Of Harry Potter at our fingertips.
Exactly. We would just get roasted.
So we have exciting news. Still not going to announce who it is, but 6 months from today, if you're listening to this episode, the day comes out June 1st, we are releasing our new podcast. However, we're not just doing one, we are
Bonus.
Doing two podcasts. We were going to scale up the one, so we had an idea for one guy, the two guys. We had an idea for one guy, and we were going to do two episodes a month, and do one on the 1st of the month, and do one on the 15th of the month. But then, as we were sort of prepping or whatever, just talking about it, we found out somebody else that we're like, oh, we need to do him.
Yes.
And so...
Very much in the same vein as Zeph.
So now instead of doing two movies a month for the one guy, we're going to do one movie a month for two
Both
different
guys.
People. And I think they're both going to come out on the 1st of the month. We still have to figure that out. But I like the 1st of the month release schedule. Here's another thing you can do. If you have a guess who it is, email us, zackattack@cageclub.me, and we will read your guesses on air. And if someone who I haven't told explicitly already who we're doing, if somebody else guesses, we will announce it on air.
We can announce early. If you guess it right, then we will admit that that's who it is. That's a cool one.
Yep.
I like that.
More reason for people to email in.
I will mail you a signed picture of Zeph with my autograph on it.
Ooh.
I'm throwing that in there, too. I'll print it out on nice paper.
What a winner.
Yeah, I know. So if you can guess it right, I'll do that.
So that's all our mailbag, which is maybe the most successful mailbag we've ever had.
Yeah, it was awesome. That was
You know,
great.
I like when Jess keeps up with the podcast, but I also like when she listens to, like, 6 months of episodes in 2 days, because then she sends so many emails in a row. And
yeah, I
best.
Like it. I agree. It's like Christmas.
Google game.
Okay.
Hairspray Zac Efron. Oh. So there are there's 9 things. They're not exciting.
Okay. It's going to be, like, Hairspray Zac Efron song.
Song is number 3.
Yeah. Dance.
Dance is not one.
Hair.
No. That's it's not even as exciting as hair.
Damn, really?
Yep.
Shoes.
Nope, nothing like that.
Really? Nothing in the like the
and
wearables.
The style? No.
Nothing
Which
in
is
the wearables.
Crazy because like this is like the most styled he's ever been, I feel.
Yeah. Yeah.
We do have your favorite autocomplete.
Age?
Number 4.
Yeah, age is a good one. Good. Okay, cool.
The other ones are it's boring. Like there's like
Go ahead.
It's full movie. Cast, song,
full
age,
movie?
Character. Yeah, if you people want to watch it online. Trailer,
You Ladies fucking Choice Lyrics. Internet pirates, you. You should have been
It's on HBO Go right now, so if you want to watch it, it's also literally on HBO all the time. I don't watch much live, so I just watch whatever, you know, TiVo just does the channels and, like, whatever's left on. And HBO's on a lot because I record a lot on HBO. Two or three times this week, I just turned my TV on and Hairspray was on. And so I just caught glimpses of it. I was just like, oh, like, this is going to be a lot to talk about. Wow. So just turn on HBO and it's probably on, or HBO Go. Like, you don't have to pirate it. Just, it's so readily available for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, Ladies' Choice Lyrics, which is the song at the record hop. It Takes Two, which is the last line that we hear. We only hear the last line of that song early in the movie. And then Without Love, which is the big, where he's kissing the picture, the photo, the picture frame.
Yeah.
That's that song. So, boring.
Yeah.
Internet has let us down when it comes to Hairspray, Zac Efron, and autocomplete.
Yeah, well, we're like this one isn't, like, geared towards teenage girls. So, I think the teenage girls produce the best Google Game autocompletes. So, here's looking forward to some more whenever we get there.
I hope so. We also got to figure out for the next podcast if we're going to use some of these games or if we're going to come up with... I think we're going to have to, like, pick and choose. Like, we'd do some of them and then see what else comes up naturally.
Yeah, I don't think all of them will work for both guys.
Oh, we do have the new game that I'm going to debut today.
Oh, we have a game. Okay, go ahead.
We're going to get to that. Not yet. I'm just going in the order that I have on my little notebook. So next is going to be the trailer.
Okay, let's watch the trailer. Link me up,
so,
big boy.
I searched on YouTube for Hairspray 2007 trailer. It is the first result. It's from Movie Clips Trailer Vault. It's Hairspray 2007, okay. Official trailer number one, John Travolta Movie HD.
Okay,
I'm... So really getting
I'm
all that Google it. SEO in there.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pausing.
It's 2 minutes and 47 seconds.
Okay. So this is a long one, yeah. I'm ready when you are.
3, 2, 1, play.
Be more.
It was a time of tradition.
Ooh, there's a voiceover from the beginning. Yeah, and there's Allison Janney. You saw her.
Yeah. People who are different, their time is coming. To shake things up. Not in
Baltimore. I wonder how much Zeph we're gonna get in this.
I don't know.
I bet a decent amount, but not a ton.
Okay.
Oh, that's right. Also, like in the intro.
There we go.
Yeah. He's the last intro until Tracy goes on the show, and then she's after him.
Yep. Oh, she has a picture of Zeph.
Oh, yeah, she's got the picture of Zeph in her locker that she kisses.
So how does nobody notice that if they're in the same high school?
I have no idea.
Save your personal life for the camera, sweetie. Oh, shiny. I like it.
I'm surprised that Michelle Pfeiffer never kisses Zeph in this movie.
I wish she would have banged Zeph in this movie. Okay, there we go. Zeph,
this is the record
actually,
hop. Yeah, this is the big song.
Yeah.
Ladies' Choice.
See, this song is catchy, but I didn't remember it.
Right. Because it just sounds like a 60s song. Like, there's nothing like... The hook is cool where he's like, Ladies' Choice. But, you know, there's actually a lot of Zeph in this trailer, which is sort of surprising. Because, like, I guess he's an important character. He's just not a huge character.
Yeah,
know?
He's not, like, as much in the movie, I think. Okay.
So much Zeph.
Yeah,
I mean, they're really capitalizing on the high school
segregation, racism, half a kiss, Christopher Walken. Oh, we got straddled. We got straddled in the trailer. This
Travolta,
trailer.
Let's see if Zeph. I bet Zeph's in these credits. Travolta,
yeah, he
Pfeiffer,
definitely is.
Walken,
if they have
Amanda
Bynes,
Marsden,
Queen Latifah.
So maybe not.
Brittany Snow.
Oh,
Zach,
maybe.
There we go. And he winks. We go. Oh, we got a little wink. I like that. Can we use that as the picture for the cover of this one?
Sure, if I can find that.
You can get it. The one where he's like at the locker and he like winks at her. That's a good one. I like that one a lot.
So what's weird is that in the closing... You gotta think big to be
big. Big ain't the problem in his family. See, big ain't problem in his family.
It does sound like Pawnsylvania.
It does. It sounds just like Pawnsylvania, right?
So in the closing credits of the movie, it's weird how people are credited, because there's like the, you know, there's like the top six or whatever, and then there's like, and then there's a whole bunch of people, and then like it's like, and introducing Nikki Blonsky. Like, that's like, she's last, even though she should be first.
Yeah.
I guess like because of agents or whatever, but like, Zeph is in the second half, just like he is here. Like, they have like, and Queen Latifah, then they cut to a scene, and then like, Brittany Snow, Zac Efron. So it's just, it's weird how like,
this is all agent shit. I'll tell you like a little side story. There was a lineup for Holy Ship once. One artist's name was like a different color okay? So everyone was making, like, all of these, like, assumptions and guesses onto why this artist's name was, like, italicized, right?
Yep.
I talked to the guy that was in booking, and he was just like, oh, his agent's a dick, and, like, he'd made us do that for no reason. And, like, that was the only way he would, like, that was, like, the final step of the contract was, like, his name, if it wasn't, like, dead first and bigger than everyone else's, because, like, they're all, like, the same size, it was, like, it needed to be italicized. And you're like, oh, that's the lamest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, pretty much. No, yeah, no, it makes sense, because there's, like, you know, so apparently there's ways in Hollywood that, like, people are, in their contracts, like, they either have their name at the top of the movie, like, the intro credits, or at the end of the movie before the actual credits. Like, their name needs to be in there twice.
Okay.
So, like, there's, like, the full credit list, and then there's, like, you know, either at the beginning of the movie or at the start of the credits. Like, it's just, it's a whole ego thing that, like, it's just this whole system that Hollywood has. But it's just weird how, like, I mean, I guess not really, because it just has no correlation,
the
really.
The and Queen Latifah thing is what just got me, because nobody else was like, and John Travolta. It was just like, and Queen Latifah. Like, that's weird.
It is weird. So, crying and shirtless, our guess was, so he's not shirtless in this movie. He does not cry.
No, it was terrible. There was some opportunity for it.
Recapping our guesses, you thought this movie was going to be set in a salon. You thought that he was going to be shampooing someone, get some shampoo on his shirt, and it makes him take his shirt off, and then he would have a bad haircut, obviously, which is why he would cry.
Yes.
I thought it was going to be a very gay movie, which it was a little gay, but it wasn't nearly
as gay as I thought it was. No, it was more race-driven than gay-driven.
Yes.
So, yeah, you were off.
So I thought he was going to be shirtless through a lot of it in that way, and then he was going to cry in the musical number, break up with a girl, and cry in the song. He does kind of break up with not Sharpay, but, like, he's happy to get out of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, he's, like, finally free. We missed out on some shirtless and crying Zephyr.
So the next thing that we're doing is, if you lived here, you'd be home now, which is a TV movie, which we can't find legally or illegally. So what we're going to do is a bonus
episode on June 15th.
We didn't even
look for it illegally, obviously. We'd never looked for it illegally. We just can't find it.
There is a 9-minute clip on YouTube, I think, like, a supercut of his scenes or something. So we're going to watch that, have no idea what the movie's about. I feel like it's based on a short story. That I think that
it's a movie, it's a movie.
It's a TV movie.
It's a TV movie, and we can only find. Let me dig some deeperness. I think I know some peoples that we could ask about this. But at the same time, yes, we plan on doing the 9-minute video.
If we can find, it's going to be a bonus episode either way.
Yeah.
Because we've already set up the schedule. So, if we can find the full movie, we're still going to do it on the 15th. But as of now, it's just a bonus episode. It's going to be a shorty one. Not knowing at all what it's about. If you lived here, you'd be home now. Why will he cry?
Because
this is maybe the hardest one we're ever going to do.
No, this one's easy for me. So his family died, obviously. His family died. He's doing, like, a wanderer, like, trying to find himself in a new city type thing because he has no family anymore.
Okay.
And he's, like, on the streets and, like, you know, he spent his last dollar on something or he got, like, robbed. And he's, like, on the streets and he's almost homeless and he starts crying because if he lived there, he would be home now.
Oh, it's kind of like Bubbles.
Exactly.
I'm going to say he's going to cry. I feel like the easy way out on all of these, and I don't want to take it this one, is that he breaks up with a girl. Like, I feel like that's the obvious one for a lot of these.
Yeah, so make up a more fun one. Oh, also, he's going to be shirtless. He's also going to be shirt. Sorry, just throw my shirtless in there at the end.
Okay.
I think that he's going to be shirtless because he's, like, under a bridge. And he, like, he gets soaking wet from all this rain and, like, takes his shirt off to wring it out. So he's, like, wet and shirtless is what I'm calling.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
not like that.
Sorry.
So I think he's going to be framed for a murder.
Okay. I like where we're going with this.
I think it's going to be some kind of dark, twisted, fucked up thing. He's going to be framed for a murder.
Okay.
And then from there, he's going to be, like, in an interrogation room, and he's going to start crying because he's scared, he's alone, he's helpless.
Okay.
And then, to double down on that, he's going to be shirtless when he gets processed for booking, and he has to get changed out of his regular clothes into prison clothes.
Perfect. I want to see that movie. I really just want to see that movie, yeah.
I write these down now so that we can
thank you, so we can remember them, because we spent a lot of time being like, I don't remember what the fuck I said, but we were wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is perfect.
The next game is the new game.
No, it's not. We have to do fire-ass movie titles. We didn't do fire-ass movie titles for Jess.
So, okay, fire-ass titles. It's called Hairspray, which is, it's sort of High School Musical a little bit.
Yeah,
but not
I like
quite.
It. I like it. I like
You did like it or you did not like it?
No, I like the title Hairspray. That would have been a good one for us to steal. You know what I mean? Like that, I think that would have won if we came up with the title.
Oh, so here's another way that we can get people to email us. We'll give out a bunch of titles, and just like Jess did, you can either rank them or tell us your favorite.
Yeah, either way. Doesn't matter to me.
We'll go back and forth. So name one.
TV racism.
Race relations.
Dance battles.
After school special.
Pre-meltdown. That's just a total reference
to a very
to
special movie.
A very special movie. That's a good one. The Fat Suit.
Detention.
Did you, were you planning these? Or are we just doing off the cuff?
Off the cuff.
Okay. I don't know. I don't got any more. Those are I like those ones. There was a good list.
So let us know what your favorite is. Yeah, I like that too.
Yeah, I liked Detention. Detention was a nice move. The Jokester.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And then we can just say, like, Miss Teenage Hairspray.
Oh, Funny Man.
Okay.
Okay, I'm done.
It's just a movie. It's like a Rosencrantz and Guildenstern just about Christopher Walken. We just follow him around, doing his own thing, setting up his shop, opening the shop in the
morning. And he just hears them fucking singing and dancing the whole time above him. You know, just like, God damn it, kids, keep it down. Like, that's the whole... Yeah. I like
I'd
that.
Watch it.
I'd like to watch it too, man.
This segment will be much better with fan interaction, so email us, sackattack@cageclub.me. Let us know what your favorite is. If you have a better one, we'll read that too. So, I mean,
yeah, for
literally
sure.
Just email
you can
us.
Throw some in. I would love to hear your opinions. So.
Okay, so this last game, the new game, I don't know how well this will work.
I'm excited. You've been blue-balling me for months about this.
So okay. I've gotten really into Letterboxd lately. Letterboxd is basically a social media platform for film lovers.
It's pretty cool. You guys should check it out. It's cool.
So on Letterboxd, you can like log what you see, you can rate things, you can review things, you can follow other people's, you can comment on theirs, you can like their reviews, whatever. But there's also a section where you put your four favorite movies.
Four.
So
only
this
four.
Game, only four, your top four. You can change it however often you want.
Okay.
My idea for this movie, for this game, is to go to the movie, and I had this idea before me and Orson Welles, but it didn't happen for me and Orson Welles.
Okay.
So when you go to like the Hairspray page, it shows you how many people on the site have watched the movie, how many of your friends, like the people you follow, have watched the movie, and then the number of fans. And the number of fans is how many people put this movie in their top four.
Top four? So this this movie would have to be in somebody's top four of all time.
Out of however many hundreds of thousands of people. So, like, for instance, hold on.
Hundreds of thousands of people watching, theoretically, infinite movies.
Yeah, so Mad Max Fury Road, I think, is the most watched movie on the site, or the most, you know, logged or whatever.
Yeah.
And that was watched by 129,000 people. So there's at least that many users. Figure, probably just say like 250,000 people on the site, right?
Okay, give me some scale. How many people said Mad Max Fury Road was in their top four?
2,100.
Okay.
So actually, this is a two-pronged game, which you clued me in. I think the game you think it's going to be is something different.
Okay, go ahead.
Like almost 22,000 people have watched Hairspray.
Okay.
So the first game, the game that I did not have in mind, how many of those 22,000 people do you think put Hairspray? This is going to be so difficult, but
this is
how many
really
people
hard.
Out of those 22,000 people do you think put Hairspray in their top four?
I say 45.
You are really close in the grand scheme of things. 36.
Damn, I was close. Yeah. Yeah, it couldn't have been that many. The scale of the movie and how many people saw it. Yeah, I knew it couldn't have been that many. Damn, I was really close. I'm proud of myself.
So that is not the game that I had in mind, but we can do that now too.
I like that. I like this.
My game is I'm going to go to the top five people who have a profile picture, gave this movie 5 stars, and also put a little heart next to it, which means they like the movie. And I want you to guess what other movies are in their top four.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I have 5 people open. One girl only has 2 movies there, but the other 4 people all have 4 movies in their top four. So, in addition, and Hairspray is in all of them.
Yeah, Hairspray, obviously, because that's how you found these people. So, there's three times five. There's possibly 15 other movies.
Well, there's 13 movies you could guess, and some of them might be duplicates. No, there's no. I don't think there's any duplicates for this one. So, what other movies do you think people who love Hairspray also love?
High School Musical 1 through 3.
No.
None in this? None of those?
Not in this random sampling, no.
Okay. Rent?
No.
Not Rent. Grease?
Yes. The first Grease 2 is not on any of them, but one person has Grease as their number 4. Hairspray as their number 3.
Damn. Okay.
This guy named Caio, C-A-I-O, from Brazil, loves Hairspray and Grease and two other movies.
Okay. fuck. This is really hard.
I know.
Thanks for making a fucking very difficult game, dick. First, can I just take a sidestep?
Yeah.
So you wanted to play this for me and Orson Welles, but nobody had me and Orson Welles.
Nobody had me and Orson Welles in their top four, correct?
That makes sense now. Titanic, because we just watched that.
Nope.
I'm thinking of think of some other shitty movies, possibly musicals.
It's kind of tricky. I mean, it's going to be easier than others. Like some of these, I'm just trying to think. So the girl who just had two, both of her favorite movies are both Hairsprays. It's the original Hairspray and new Hairspray.
Yeah, okay. Okay, that makes sense. She just likes Hairspray.
The guy you guessed with Grease also loves Sing and The Secret Life of Pets.
Interesting. Okay.
This is someone who's just... Okay, this is the weirdest one,
I think. Did you just assume their gender?
The username is Caitlin Dixon.
Did you just assume their gender?
Well, so the picture is of a guy... But I didn't realize the guy was Andy Samberg. This person is Caitlin Dixon. Her Twitter is Amy Santiago, who's from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Her favorite movies are Pop Star with Andy Samberg, and then both Guardians of the Galaxy and Hairspray.
Cool.
So this Caitlin Dixon from Scotland loves
Andy Samberg. Guardians of the Galaxy is a good pick, honestly. I should have thought about Guardians of the Galaxy, because it's like musically driven, same big budget type thing. That's a cool one. Okay, go ahead.
This next guy, Gabe from New York, loves Hairspray. Hairspray is his number one movie.
Wow!
He also loves Brooklyn, which is the Saoirse Ronan movie from a couple years ago, which I also loved. He loves the Disney Hunchback of Notre Dame, and he loves Clueless.
Clueless was a good one. I should have known Clueless. That's a pretty good one. Okay.
His bio is musicals, Disney, and rom-coms predominantly. So he knows what he loves, and he loves these things.
Yeah.
And the last person, this is maybe...
What?
The weirdest one.
Okay.
Lion King.
Yes.
Sherlock Holmes 2. Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows.
Just two, not one. Okay.
Hairspray. And then Peter Pan 2003, which is with Jeremy Sumpter and Jason Isaacs.
Interesting. Okay.
It's a difficult game, but I feel like if you get any guesses right, and you got Grease right, you win.
Yeah, thank you. Well,
so it's a pass-fail class, and you passed.
Thank you. I'll take that. And I was damn close on the number of people that had it in their top.
Which is top shocking, four. Yes.
I know. Yeah, I know. I'm going to be way better at that one than you know.
Probably.
I think I'll get really close most of the time. Okay, cool.
The last thing that I have to mention is that since we last recorded, it's been announced that Zac Efron is going to be Ted Bundy, serial killer Ted Bundy, in the movie Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil, and Vile, which I think is going to come out next year. There's no date on it yet. I think it'll probably be next year. But we here at the Cage Club Podcast Network are so excited for this.
Yep,
because it's almost exactly what we want him to do.
Which was, I said, do like an insomnia type movie. Like,
yes.
Yeah, and this is it. So hopefully he breaks out and this is his like big role, his new big role.
Please. Please.
Serious role, yeah.
That's all I have. That's all the games. I think we know.
Yeah.
We keep adding games. We're going to see how this carries over to the next two podcasts.
These keep getting longer game-wise and mail-wise, which I love, and it's fun for me, so... Yeah, I like doing the game. If somebody just wants to hear us talk shit on a movie, they could just like skip the end. But if they just want to hear the games, they can skip to the end. So,
I think
the
games are better than us talking about the movie.
Same,
usually.
I think so. I have more fun doing them.
So, anything else that you want to mention about Hairspray or anything before we go?
No, wasn't it? Just final note. I liked it better than I imagined I would.
Yep.
John Travolta sucked in the movie. Michelle Pfeiffer is really hot, and that's all I have to say.
And we wish that it was Sharpay in the lead girl role.
Yes, I do. I really do.
We'll be back in 2 weeks for If You Lived Here, You'd Be Home Now. So stay tuned for that. And then we'll be back on July 1st and then August 1st. And then do we have a movie on September 1st too? I don't remember.
We said maybe Baywatch by then.
We're rapidly wrapping up on Zack Attack.
Say that 3 times fast.
Baywatch just came out as we're recording this, so when that comes out on Blu-ray, DVD, video on demand, we will have the bonus episode as we always do.
Yep.
But as of right now, the last Zack Attack episode, aside from the bonus episodes that we do when, Baywatch or this Ted Bundy movie come out, is scheduled for September 1st. So 3 months from today is set to be the end of Phase 1 of Zack Attack. And then 6 months from today is the beginning of phase one for our two new actors. So email us your guesses, zackattackatcageclub.me. Let us know who you think it is. We'll read right and wrong guesses on air.
Yep.
And we'll tell you if you're right or wrong. So.
Yep. And I'll send you an autographed picture if you're right.
Inside scoop, exclusive, exciting stuff.
Yep.
So for all things Zack Attack, you can go to cageclub.me or facebook.com/cageclub or at cageclubpod on Twitter. You can see all the episodes that we've done. You can see the other shows on our network. Actually, recording next week, so releasing, I think, in early July, Joe will be on Keanu Club for the first time. He's going to be talking about a bad Keanu movie called Exposed. So in a little over a month, he'll be on Keanu Club.
I hope it's about flashers. I really hope it's about flashers.
It's not.
Damn.
It's not about John Waters in this movie.
Okay.
But you can go back and there's like 60-something episodes of Keanu Club. So if you really want to like ramp up for Joe's appearance on Keanu Club,
you
have about a month and a half to do 60 episodes. So do it. Let us know. Email us, zackattackatcageclub.me. Let us know how that journey is going. But listen to all the other shows on the network. Get ready for our new shows coming this fall. Lots of fun, free things to do at those three places. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe, too.
And we'll see you next time on Zack Attack.
Oh, my God. How times have changed. These girls must be blind or completely deranged. But time seemed to halt when I was Miss Baltimore. Rats. Amber, that move is far too dirty.
Mother, wake up from that dream of yours. This isn't 1930.
You can laugh.